Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good morning, everyone. I'm Evangelist Tanita here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And we want to welcome you to this Saturday morning broadcast. Today is February the 25th, 2023. We will continue on our new series, The Importance of Keeping the Heavenly Vision. And, of course, this is part five. And just to give you a heads up of which chapters we'll be coming out of, we're continuing with the seventh seal, and that's in Revelation chapter 8, and then also Matthew chapter 24. Rabbi John?
Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we just give you thanks. We glorify you. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us. So, Father, we make that quality choice right now to forgive them. In doing so, Father, we're learning each and every day how to walk that out, how to allow it to manifest in our lives so that the forgiveness that Yeshua died on the cross for can be applied to us as well. We thank you for the show. We thank you for giving us an understanding of who you are and what you desire for us in the manner of speaking words. We submit to that right now. We ask that your Ruach, your Holy Spirit, just come in and begin to envelop us with the fullness of your protection, of your love, of your confidence, of your assurance that you are there with us. And as Yeshua has said, that you will never forsake us and that you will fulfill the full aspect of why we're called and why we're purposed here on this earth. We desire that. We want that. We need that each and every day. So we submit to that right now, Father. We ask for you to just not just be with us on this broadcast, but guide us through as well. In the precious name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Tita, we are, this is like an on-location type of broadcast today. So you'll be hearing driving in the background as the road noise, I guess you would say. So I'll be talking a little bit louder just so that everybody does, you know, hear and understand. And you are right, we were talking about Revelation chapter 7, and more importantly, we were talking about the seals and how that interlines and begins to really give us a good understanding of where we are and how we are to present ourselves as things happen day to day and moment by moment. There's still a Father in heaven on the throne. Yeshua is also on the throne and on the throne of our hearts. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us through the obstacles that Satan tries to throw at us each and every day, trying to at least pull us into the turmoil of the day of this world. And that's something that we need to make sure that we die to daily. And it's not something that's easy. It's something that's mandatory, though. In order for us to live, we must die. But the fleshly desires, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye, all of that has to be crucified on a daily basis. Now, with that said, Yeshua made sure that his disciples were prepared and ready. Even though they floundered, even though, you know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fell and they fled. He'd given them enough information for them to have something to hold on to. That information was pertaining to the insight of what we've been talking about. about pertaining to the seals, because these seals are already manifesting, and we need to see that and understand that. We need to understand that in the macro, the meso, and even in our own micro, that it's affecting our judgments. It's affecting the cognitive function of our mind and the decisions we make and the choices that we make. When we begin to go back and look at Matthew chapter 24, then we quickly begin to understand, or we should, how they interrelate with what is actually happening and going to happen in the seals, because they correlate. But Yeshua wanted his disciples, and we are a part of that discipleship, to be very much aware, very much cognizant of what is about to happen, about what is going to befall the earth and certain areas and sections of the earth, so that we would be prepared, so that our faith would not flounder, so that our faith would not fail, so that fear doesn't take a hold over us. So we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 24. We're still going to go to Revelations. But we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 24. And we'll see how Yeshua just really began to unfold end time events, so that they could be prepared, so that they would begin to teach and share and encourage and strengthen the followers, the disciples, so they would perpetuate a teaching moment that will continue until our day. Matthew chapter 24. We'll look at that in the King James. And most of you know the story very well, because it talks about the temple that Herod had built. And from that sparked an eschatological teaching, an end-time teaching that Yeshua began to prophetically share with his disciples. And we'll begin to break that down. Okay. So, Evangelist Sneed, if you could read Matthew chapter 24, we're probably going to go 1 through 4. And then we'll begin to kind of digest that and everything, and then move from there. Okay?
Okay. And, Rabbi, you want me to read that in the King James and the Amplified?
Yeah, we can do it in the King James, and then I'll let you go ahead and do that in the Amplified as well. And then we'll, you know, go ahead and kind of break it down even more.
Okay. All right, Matthew chapter 24, King James first, starting verses 1 through 4. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And then the Amplified reads, Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and point them out to him. But he answered them, do you see all these? Truly I tell you, there will not be one left here, one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. While he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the completion, consummation of the age? Jesus answered them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. Rabbi John?
So be careful that no one deceives you. Why? Because deception is going to manifest. It's going to run rampant. It's going to take as many believers and begin to cause them to lose hope, to lose faith in what has already been spoken and already been prophesied. They wanted to know, when was his second coming? They were not aware of, at this particular time, they were not aware of the, what we understand the rapture or the catching up to be, or the latter part of the ancient Jewish wedding as it focuses primarily on the bride. They were not connecting those dots. And as we read further, you'll see, or as you read further, you'll see that in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, is when he starts to talk about the wedding, is when he starts to talk about what we understand the rapture to be. So they had no real reference. They had no clue other than the fact that they've been to a wedding, they've followed the ceremonies in the natural, but they didn't understand that that was to reinforce the spiritual implication of what he was doing by marrying the bride. So when they came to him, they were asking pertaining to the second coming and the second coming only. They were also knowing that the earth would go through a major transformation at the very end. They were aware of that as well. And so that was one of the major reasons why they brought those up, because they had been taught this from their youth. So in this segment, both in the King James and in the Amplified, Yeshua was preparing them for the great deception. Not just the great deception in their day, but more importantly, the great deception in our day. The great deception. Very similar to what we've heard pertaining to the great reset. The great deception is on the same level as the great reset. And in this deception, many will be fooled. Many will backslide. Many will adhere to false doctrine. And so he's preparing them and preparing us so that when this begins to happen, not only with them, but as it's already happening with us, but it's going to escalate with us, that we don't lose heart, that we don't lose faith, and that we understand that this too was prophesied. This too was foretold. So we're going to go ahead and read verse 5 and then 6 and 7, both in the King James and the Amplified.
Yes. Starting at verse 5, again, that's Matthew chapter 24. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence in diverse places, And then the Amplified reads, "For many will come, and on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in place." Rabbi James?
If we were to take these examples that he gave and begin to look in the book of Revelations, chapter 6, we'll see that these correlate with the different seals, 1, 2, and 3, and even 4. They correlate. He's literally giving them a quick understanding of the seals that the Apostle John got a chance to get a more depth understanding of in the book Revelation. So he's letting them know that something that is going to be hard for many to swallow, hard for many believers, if you will, to understand. He's letting them know that many antichrists, and even more specifically, the antichrist, will manifest himself. That this is going to happen before the end comes. This is going to happen even before the wedding manifests. This is going to happen before the second coming of Christ and his bride from heaven. We need to understand that, because basically what we have is we have a connection. And the connection is not just with chapter 6. Okay? This connection also connects with chapter 13. So, if Evangelist Nate, if you can go and just begin to read the first three or four seals, okay? Revelation chapter 6, I think it may be 1 through 8 or 1 through 9 or something like that, maybe even 7. And keep your place where you are, but when you begin to read that, and you can do it in the King James, you'll see that what he began to teach his disciples is the beginning or the start of a fuller understanding and grasp of the seals. Okay? It's like an overlay. It's like, you know, this is first layer, and the first layer is more broad, okay, like a topic. And then from that topic, you have more information, and that more information is going to get a little bit more detailed, and then it gets even more detailed. So this is where chapter 6 and that certain aspects of chapter 6 and chapter 13 of the book Revelation bring more light to Matthew chapter 24 versus seal 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay. And if you'll read that for us, Evangelist Nina, that's Revelation chapter 6, 1 through about, I want to say 7 or 8, somewhere in there, but it's the first four seals, because that's what he's talking to his disciples about and getting them prepared, to get us prepared, but letting them know linearly giving them an understanding linearly of what truly is versus what truly is not. In other words, what truly is going to happen in order. Now, this is the reason why it's important, is because he's giving the order of things. I mean, that's phenomenal. Because we can actually, as we live this life, we can begin to see these things happen, and we know, okay, this is where we are. You know, it's like a roadmap to the end times is what he's giving them. Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 1, where it talks about the Antichrist, or the, which would be the individual on the white horse. And then it talks about the wars, which would be the red horse. It talks about the famines and the disease that's about to happen, which is the pale horse. And starts to go into death and hell, which is the black horse. You'll read that for us, please. Revelation
yes,
chapter
sir. 6. Yes, Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. There went another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon to take peace from the earth, that they shall kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with swords, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Rabbi John?
See, if you start looking at our economy and start looking at the global landscape, you can see that the recession that we're looking at is dealing with an economic collapse, which would be, in this particular scenario, the black horse. And then, of course, you've got the pale horse, which is where, if we go back to Matthew chapter 24, and we go back to where we were in Matthew, what we'll quickly begin to see and begin to understand is that the Father is allowing Yeshua to begin an initial stage of exposing eschatology, exposing how the end times are manifesting. And this is exciting. And it's exciting for the simple fact that it is happening in our day, and the Father is not allowing us to be ignorant. Doesn't get glory out of us being unprepared. The Father believes in proper preparation. and he wants us to prep, but he wants us to do it with wisdom and not out of panic and fear. He wants us to understand what's happening, and he wants us to fulfill that which is happening and going to happen upon us. So we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 24 again. We'll just pick up where we had left off and then begin to read maybe the next three verses in the King James and in the Amplified. Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. The Amplified reads, all this, the beginning, the early pain of birth, praying of the intolerable anguish. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and persecute one another with hatred. Rabbi John?
So as we're beginning to come into this particular time period, what we need to understand is that this is the time of the great falling away, not just within the church building, but it within the relationships of the believers. So in other words, the believers themselves are going to be sifted within themselves. You're going to see a spirit of cowardliness. You're going to see individuals that profess that they were bought with a price. But yet when times get very, very difficult, they're going to backslide. They're going to recant. They're not going to fulfill the relationship and the proclamation and the vows that they've made to Yeshua. They will begin to follow him, but they will follow him from afar. They'll be afraid to allow individuals to know that they are believers, kind of like what happened with Peter when Yeshua was on trial. And he recanted that he even knew him. Now, in Peter's case, to be the leader, and Yeshua prayed for him. But Judas, who basically, although he betrayed, you know, Yeshua, he basically did the same thing. He basically, in his actions, it's important that we understand that even though it was similar, it was still different, because with Peter, he was afraid. With Peter, but it was from afar, whereas Judas cashed in on Yeshua. He went for the profit of what he could receive for turning him in. Now, I've heard different schools of thought, and I kind of like the school of thought that although Judas was used of Satan, Judas himself thought that if he would have put Jesus on the spot, that signs and wonders and everything that the Father was doing through him would manifest and that everyone would know at that point that he was the Messiah. He was unaware that the Messiah would have to die first. But still, it was foretold. But when these things, which are already happening, begin to happen in droves, in other words, when the life of the individual that professes the Messiah is on the line, what will you do? That's the question that I have to live with for myself each and every day. Will I continue to profess even unto death of myself or others? Or will I capitulate? Will I acquiesce? Now that's worth a Selah. That's worth a pause with deep thought. When your loved one, or loved ones, plural, life is in your actions. Or when your life is in your actions or inactions. That's when the reality really is in your heart, starts to manifest. That's when we quickly begin to realize, okay, is this really a relationship? Is it really in fidelity? We all are going to be tested. We all are going to be sifted. We all are going to go through the Job experience. And I probably should say it this way. We all will be presented with the Job experience. Now, whether or not we go through it or whether or not we acquiesce, that's going to be up to our own decisions. The reason why this particular aspect is so important. That's the reason why Paul proclaimed this statement when he says, you haven't yet given up, or correction, you haven't yet believed the Messiah even unto your own hurt or unto blood. In other words, if you've got your feelings hurt, if you are more concerned about, you know, what other people think or what your family's going to go through or even what you're going to go through, okay, all of these are situations that quickly allow you to realize and know whether or not the manifestation is true or not. All of these. So that is the concern. That is exactly what the reality of the Messiah is. What is it going to take? What is it going to take for me to make it through, for me to overcome? There's a passage of scripture that I tend to gravitate to. You know, each person has like their own scripture that becomes kind of like their mantra. It's a flagship scripture that basically speaks to your heart and speaks to the way in which you want to live your life here on the earth. Well, I have such a scripture as well myself, and it's in the book Revelation. And it's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And I want us to go there just so that we can begin to see, or at least you can see, how it affects me. This is something I endeavor and try to live myself. Not to say I'm perfect, but at least it becomes something that I can understand and I can grasp and I can see and I can realize, okay, this is what is expected of me. This is the way I overcome the adversary. This is the way I win the battle here on earth during these particular times. This is the way that I keep my focus on him. This is the way I keep my focus on him. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And Evangelist Anita, if you could read that both in the King James and in the Amplified, please. King James,
yes,
and
sir.
Amplified. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11.
And they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounce their faith even when faced with death. The Amplified reads, and they have come conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life, even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap until they had to die for their witnessing.
Why is this important? This is important for the simple fact that this is dealing with the aspect of understanding and grasping the truth. The truth pertaining to the fifth seal. The truth pertaining to the fact that the adversary has but a short time. In that short time is the time of testing we have never seen. The time of trial like we have never seen. The time of temptation like we have never seen. Even Yeshua talks about the fact that if praying that our faith is increased, that our belief and trust in what Yah is doing is increased, we need to be praying for that, believing for that. We're going to go into Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to read fifth seal again, and then jump from there to Matthew chapter 24, and begin to read a couple of those so that we can begin to see that Yeshua has given us the chronological step by step. This is what's going to happen. If you were in a classroom setting, he would have said, get your pen and paper out. I'm going to give you in order, I'm going to give you what is going to cause the great falling away and every sector of each point that will connect a straight line to answering the questions that you asked about my second coming and the end of the age. Because in my second coming, the wrath of God is coming, and the end of the age is the part where that wrath is being poured out. So when he says second coming and then he says the end of the age, they taught that at the end of the age, the wrath of God would be poured out on the children of disobedience. They knew this. Hebraically, they understood this concept. Revelations chapter 6. We're just going to read pertaining to fifth seal, and we'll also read a little bit about the sixth seal. We can go into that. Now, we've already done this before. Yes, I know. But we haven't done it in a manner of speaking in this way, so that you can see that it is a straight line. It is a step-by-step. It's sequential. It's an order, so that we don't get confused and so that we don't put three in front of two or in front of one, but that we know exactly where each one of these points are, and that these points are exactly the way they manifest, exactly the way he said, before the second coming. So we are not shocked as to what's going on or what's happening or what's going to happen. That is so, so important. So we'll read Revelation chapter 6. We're going to read about the fifth seal and the sixth seal. And then we're going to jump back over to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to see how all of this correlates. Vanish to meeting.
Yes. Revelation chapter 6, and this is starting at verse 9 with the fifth seal. I'll be reading the King James. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, Yah, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they shall rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And then the beginning of the sixth seal, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became blackened as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as fig tree casts her untimely figs, and when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Verse 14, and heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain island were moved out of their place. And so the Amplified reads, starting in verse 9, when the Lamb broke open the fifth seal, I saw at the foot of the altar the souls of those whose lives were sacrificed for adhering to the word of God and for the testimony they had borne. They cried in a loud voice, O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long now before you will sit in judgment and avenge our blood upon those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a long and flowing and festive white robe, and told to rest and wait patiently to a while longer, until the number should be complete of their fellow servants and their brothers who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he, the Lamb, broke open the sixth seal, I looked, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun grew black as sackcloth of hair. The full disk of the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as fig trees drop like late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Bye-bye, John.
Amen. Now, we're also going to connect this to Matthew chapter 24. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24 now. What she just got through reading was the fifth seal. which we're not totally in that yet, in its fullest form. And, of course, the sixth seal, which everyone will know on the whole earth, that we have stepped into that. Because all those that are in this world and of this world, who are very much aware of what actually is happening to this world, will be running into the caves that they've already started to build. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to go ahead and read two or three passages of scripture there. Vanish, Janita.
Yes. And again, that's Matthew chapter 24. King James Version, continuing on verse 8 through 10. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then, verse 10, shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And then 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And so the Amplified reads, all this is but the beginning, the early pains of the birth pains of the intolerable anguish. Then they shall hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death. And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. And many prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many in error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiple lawlessness and iniquity. Rabbi John?
So we're in the stages where there's many false prophets. There's many that are being led astray. And it will just get stronger and stronger and stronger, unfortunately. And it's so important. It's imperative that we begin to allow the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to really give us an understanding of what is important and what is righteous and holy and pure. It is so, so important that we get a grasp of this, because without this, we too would be lost. We too would not be able to find our way. Now we're going to continue with Matthew chapter 24, where we left off, and just read a couple more because I want you to see how Yeshua correlates and brings into the equation the Antichrist coming in before the wedding feast, before the great catching up, before the rapture. Imperative that we see that, because when we go to the book of Revelations, we'll see that it's the same pattern. It's the exact same pattern.
Yes. Continuing in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, King James Version, but he shall endure until the end, and the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The Amplified reads, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this good news of the kingdom of the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end, and then will come the end. Rabbi John?
Amen. So in this so far, he has answered the question that they asked, but he goes further. That's why when he starts looking at Matthew chapter 25, he even begins to tell them about the marriage feast. He even begins to tell them in code. It's coded. It's ingrained and in the fabric of, and the wedding depicts the rapture. It depicts what's going to happen in the end. It's imperative that we see that we understand that we grasp this. Because in grasping this, we then can understand where does Revelations chapter 13 and 14 come into play. That's important for us. Because when we begin to see this for what it is, then we can see that it's an overlay. They lay on top of each other at certain points. And at these points, we can connect the dots. And we can be even more prepared, even more aware of what is going to happen. It is so imperative. Now, with that said, we're going to stop here and allow you to digest that, because that was a lot of information. And perfectly have one more session, an overview of what has been, and then overlay that with Revelation chapter 13 and 14 so that you can see how that inner relates with Revelation chapter 7 pertaining to the rapture, pertaining to the 144,000 and all of that, and how that's a straight line of chronological order. Now, if we're expecting the rapture to happen before the Antichrist, you can understand and see how individuals are going to be left in the cold. And we don't want that to happen to us. So, Evangelist Schnitty, if you could tell everyone how to get information about us, and then I'll pray.
Yes. Thank you, Rabbi John. And so for those of you, if this is your first time listening to our show, The Importance of Keeping the Heavenly Vision, we'd like to welcome and thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening live or via our podcast, we're glad that you've taken the time to engage in the study of Yah's Word and to discern the signs of the time. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Bethlehem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or you would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethlehem.org. To find out more about us, visit our website at www.bethlehem.org. And that is BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook, and that website is www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. If you're hungry for more or desire a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college is Zakkai University of Learning, which offers courses of Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And that website is courses.bethlehem.org. And finally, tithes and offerings can be made via Cash App. And that website is http://www.cashapp.com/$Bethlehem, BETHHASHEM. Or you could mail to our office
at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have generously given, we say thank you. Rabbi John?
Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we thank and praise you that even though this is a review for most, we thank you that what it does do is it begins to continue to awaken us, begin to alarm us to the things that are happening and enable us not to fall for the tricks of the enemy, not to acquiesce, not to run from the battle, but to run to the battle, not to run from being an overcomer, but from establishing ourselves and our foundation and our steps, making them sure in you so that we are victorious, allowing us not to get caught up in the things of this world, but also not to be more concerned about our own life here in this world than being with your Son, Yahushua, and you for eternity. We give you the praise, we give you the glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Until next time, Shalom, Shalom.